questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. Let's go ahead and stand and sing that song. It's an F, Fill My Way Every Day with Love. You can turn around and greet one another tonight. Extend a hand of fellowship.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. with the heavenly dove. Oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness.
Standing on the promises of God. G. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Oh, glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God.
Standing on on the promises of God, my Savior. Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Praise the Lord. Where could I go? Oh, where could I go?
Brother Steve Jambibi, you can go ahead and take up the offering there. Let's go ahead and sing that song. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the sinful shore. Or not sinful shore. However the words go. Throw the words up there. Thanks for the Steve. I'm not sure. I think it's probably like B flat or something. I think it's B flat. Yep, it's B flat. Yeah, Faith got it on the computer. That B flat? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Change the order of the service tonight. Let's sing the song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. We can sing it in G. I am weak, but thou art strong. Praise the Lord. G.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Oh, Jesus, keep me from all. close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Branded Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, oh, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Oh, who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. And when my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Grant that Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen, Brother Dan. If you want to come, let's sing this song, He's Able. It's an F. No, my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, He's able, I know. He's able, I know. My Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, He's able, oh, I know. He's able. Captives free, He makes the lame to walk again, and He calls the blind to see. He's able, He's able, I know. He's able, I know. My Lord is able to carry me through. Sing that again. He is able, He is able, oh, I know. He's able, I know. My Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, He's able, He's able, oh, I know. He's able, I know. My Lord is able to carry me through. For He healed the brokenhearted, and He sets the captives free. He makes the lame walk again, and He calls the blind.
God. Amen.
Yes. Please be seated for a moment. You are all warmly welcome to the house of God tonight. I just want to use this opportunity. It's a crash program, so we didn't even want to talk too much about it. You may have heard of it already about our son Joshua. We decided to postpone his graduation ceremony and what have you. But Brother Wan, you know, brought a suggestion, and I thought it was very, very important. So on the contrary, we'll be doing something for him. His graduation is at a very odd hour. It's between 6 and 9 in the evening. And then at U of M, and then which is 31st of this month. And then on the 1st, we just plan to have some breakfast. I mean, it's lunch at Tapanyaki Grill. Whoever can make it there, you are only welcome. It's just at 1 p.m. before we head off to Rochester. So I know it's just a crash program. We didn't want to talk too much about it. If you are able to come there before we go to Rochester, that would be very great. Else, we'll meet there. Praise be to God. Shall we please stand for the reading of the word? We are reading from 2 Kings 6, 16, and 17. 2 Kings, thank you so very much, musicians. God bless you. 2 Kings 6, 16 to 17. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Praise be to God. Shall we pray? Our heavenly and everlasting Father, we thank thee so much for once again gathering us together by your feet tonight, Lord. Your sons and daughters have not driven far and near to come and hear the voice of a man. They have come that they may hear your voice, dear Lord Jesus. And Father, it's our prayer tonight that you will hide me behind your word and let your word go forth. We beseech thee, Father, tonight, you know the needs of thine sons and daughters. And may you channel your word, Father, O God, to meet our needs before we leave your presence tonight. Bless us, dear Lord Jesus. And let thy name be glorified tonight, Lord. The Bible says, "Where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst." We have satisfied the quorum, Lord. We are looking up unto thee, from whom our help comes. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Shall we be seated? Tonight, by the grace of God, we are going to look at a message the prophet preached in 1953, titled, "Looking at the Unseen." Looking at the Unseen. Now, I want to backtrack a little. The Bible says that the king of Syria warred against Israel. And for every time he planned a move against Israel, the king of Israel gets to know about it. Elisha tells the king of Israel, "This is what the king of Syria has planned. And make sure you do not go this way. Don't go in this direction." And the Bible says, not once, not twice, the king of Israel sent where the prophet said they shouldn't go. And lo and behold, it was true. So the king of Syria got so upset. He thought it was one of his men that was an informant to the Israelites. So one day he gathered his servants together. And he said, for every time we plant something against Israel, the king of Israel gets to know about it. I want you guys to tell me, who is against us? Who is against me? Who is the king's informant? You know, sometimes in our lives, we get to a place where we are tempted to think we know it all. We have to actually watch making assumptions. You get to a place in your life where you can easily make assumptions. And you can swear on your life that you have it right. Meanwhile, it is very, very wrong. There was no way the king of Syria would have thought that it was not one of his servants. There was absolutely no way he was going to think that way. Then one of his servants told him, King, it is not any of us, but it is the prophet of God, Elisha, who tells the king of Israel, anything you plan in your bedchamber. Even when you think you have it right, it is very, very good to fact check. Check your facts. Sometimes you may be wrong. Sometimes you may think you are discerning right. You may be 100% deep down your soul that this is right. And you may be 100% wrong. And he sent his men to go and find out where Elisha was. So he would send his men to go and fetch him. They went round and then came back to tell him that Elisha was in Dothan. So he sent his men by night to go and fetch him. Now, in this message, the prophet talks about something concerning the night. There is something about darkness. You know, it is not to say that the devil does not work when it is daytime. The devil works 24/7. The devil has no time. But it's almost like it is when it is night that the devil is at his best. That is why when you are going to bed, don't just go to bed and lie down. Even the animals, which do not have souls, when they are going to bed, they give God thanks. They give God the glory. Very early in the morning, here in the U.S., you don't get to see a lot of things. I remember back home, I used not to keep time. There was a rooster behind the house. Very early in the morning, the rooster would wake me up. It's just that we don't understand their language. But it would interest you to know that they are praising God for that day. And when you go to bed and you rise up the following day, don't just hit the road and just go. No. Be thankful to God. Because when we go to bed and we are dead asleep, things are happening. It is the grace of God that is keeping us. Amen. Praise be to God. You know, it just reminds me of a little story about the night. You know, for those of us with children and the potential parents in our midst, Some years ago, I used to work night shift. My wife too was working a night shift. Up till now, she's still working night shift. And then, when it was time, we would just put the children to bed. I would leave for work by 6 p.m. She leaves by 10. And she makes sure the children are in bed. Then she leaves the house, not knowing they would pretend they were sleeping. As soon as we leave, or the mother leaves, then the whole house is under their control. We didn't know this. For how long it was happening, nobody got to know about it. Until one day I went to work. It snowed so heavily, and there was no work. I gathered there was nobody, so I had to come back home. So I got home between 11 and 12 midnight. And I opened the door. When I entered the house, my son, Danny, okay, he's been here a few times. He didn't know there was anybody in the house. And then he was coming down the steps. Oh, he was shouting. If the doors were open, you could hear him across the road. Knocking at his chest, speaking. So I stood and I was looking at him while he was coming down. He didn't see me. So as soon as he saw me, he jerked. He probably thought he saw a ghost. Then I said, Danny. Then I thought he was even going to pass out. So I was calling him, Danny. Then he stood, Daddy. That was not the first time. And before then, I drove home one midnight to see somebody running behind the house. And when I went, it was my wife's sister's children. You know, even daytime, there are people that would come around your children and you want to keep an eye on them. How much more nighttime when they are around? And then it happens that no parent is in the house. And a lot of things went wrong. A lot of things went wrong. Before we got to know, a lot of things had gone wrong. I don't care what happens. I don't care whatever. Now I do a day shift. She works night. I don't care whatever happens. Always try to get somebody to be in the house, a parent to be in the house. It is very, very important. A lot of things happen in the night. Never take things for granted. They could be in their room sleeping, you are in your room sleeping. That is all well and good. A lot of things went wrong. So, by night, a lot of things happened in the night. So by night, the king of Syria sent his men to go and fetch Elisha. And when they got there, they surrounded the whole city. Then very early in the morning, Elisha's servant went out and he saw that the whole city was surrounded by men on chariots of war. Then he went inside and he said, Master, the whole city is surrounded by men. He was shaken, I believe. And Elisha prayed and asked God to open his eyes so he would see. And when God opened his eyes, he saw that round about the city, there were angels on chariots of fire, glory, ready to go into action. Yeah. Elisha didn't call them. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, yeah, and delivereth them. Yeah. If you are a child of God, if you have the fear of God in you, God has given his angels charge over you. And wherever you are, you don't have to see it to believe it. Just believe it. Believe and you will see it. Wherever you are, the angels of God are on duty. I was doing my national service. Some guys came from Accra. Oh, Brother Andy probably. He's a Ghanaian, so he may know the area. They came from Tema, and they told me a story that happened. I think I shared that story here once. Once upon a time, there was a little girl that would go to church. He would walk. In fact, to tell you the truth, elsewhere when you go, the comfort we have here in the U.S. serving God, a lot of places, they don't have it like that. They don't have it like that. You would dress, you put on your shoes. By the time you get to church, your shoe is dusty. You would walk. Probably, it's not as if you don't have money to take a car. Maybe it's a bush road. There is no car going that way. This girl would walk that bush road and then go to church. In the night, church closes at 9. She would walk back home. Not knowing, as she was going up and down that road, somebody took notice of it and wanted to take advantage of her. So one day, this man went and laid ambush. He knew the girl had gone to church, and she was going to walk that road back. And he was lying in the bush, waiting for this girl. This girl didn't do anything. He closed from church. He was coming home. He was just singing and praising and shouting, just praising God. He was alone in the night, just walking on the path. He didn't know that somebody was hiding there, waiting to take advantage of her. And then what he saw, what the man saw, which later he confessed, was that as the girl was coming and was singing and shouting and praising God, on her left and right, there were armed men. Armed men surrounded her as she was walking, and she was singing. She didn't even know about God. She didn't know there was anything going on.
Lord God.
Praise be to God. Yeah. Wherever you are, a child of God, know that it is the responsibility of God to keep you. And God would keep you. God would give his angels charge over you. Sometimes I can just imagine what goes on. Like in the case of Elisha, he was the prophet of God. He could see. So he could call for it anytime he needed. We need to continue the story because this was just a portion I needed. But as the story goes, he blinded them and led them to Samaria and what have you. But sometimes I see the angels just begging for attention. Begging for attention, wanting to go into action. And then you sit down, you cross your arms, and then you are crying, and they are looking at you, telling you, I am here. What do you want me to do? Just speak and I will do it. And we don't even know it. We need to exercise our authority. A child of God, you have authority in you. We need to come to that place to exercise our authority, our God-given authority. And God would back his word.
Amen.
Another story again. I love telling stories when I have them. If I don't tell them, that means I don't have one. Again, the same area in Tema. It happens to be one of the very notorious areas, Ashaman areas. A man walked onto a little girl. And the girl just said, I strike you with blindness. And right away, he went blind. He went blind, and he started touching the wall, looking for a door to go out.
Praise God. Glory God.
And later, when she came to give the testimony, she said she was sorry the man went blind. You were sorry? You should be rejoicing he went blind. Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about tonight? Looking at the unseen. Remember, wherever you are, the angels are on duty.
Yeah.
Abraham, when God gave Abraham the promise that he was going to have a child, sometimes we read the story and we think, oh, it was very, very easy. I can guarantee you it was not an easy task. God did not give him any time. There was no time limit to it. He didn't tell him in a year. He didn't tell him in 10 years. He didn't tell him in 20 years. He left him in suspense. He knew God had spoken. But when? He waited a year. Nothing happened. He waited 5 years. Nothing happened. 10, 15, 20. I believe that there were a lot of obstacles in his way. I can just imagine, let's fast track it to the 21st century. And let's just imagine that Abraham was somewhere in Minnesota here. And then he has friends that have gone to the U of M. Some are doctors. And they go to him, Abraham, you know, we were best friends when we were. And then you keep talking about your God. Have you ever seen God? And I hear Abraham say, you say God has given you a promise. What do you mean by God has given you a promise? For how many years would you keep waiting on this promise? And God is not answering it. And I hear Abraham say, God has spoken and God will keep his word. And people would make fun of Abraham. And I can see Abraham going, and people are laughing at him and calling him the father of nations just to make fun of him. And just imagine, at the time that God gave them the promise, they were even past the age of childbearing. And it didn't come to pass the first year, 5 years, 10 years. So as a matter of fact, physically speaking, it was getting worse. They were getting older and older, making it what? More impossible for them to have children. So it was very, very easy to get to that place and then to throw in the towel. There were obstacles. I believe there were days that Abraham would have sat in his room and then maybe just think and think and think and think. Did I really hear from God? No, probably I was the one thinking. No, God has spoken. You know, it is not an easy task. But he kept looking at the unseen. And he staggered not at the promises of God. He kept holding on. Even when all around him was pointing in one direction, physically speaking, that it was not possible, he never gave up. He kept holding on, looking at the unseen. Just imagine, after having held on for 20 years or 21, 22, 23, 24 years, if he had decided to throw in the towel at that time, what was going to happen? That is what happens to us some of the times, that we are able to hold on to the promises of God for a very, very long time. And at the very end of it, when God is getting ready to answer the prayer, that is when we give in. And then we destroy our testimony. I had one cousin who first spoke to me about Christ. I was a Muslim before. And then one time he told me, we're just talking, I don't know what we're talking about. He says, it's like when you come to my house and you say you are hungry. I say, okay, just sit down. I will get you food to eat. And then I go to the market. I do the shopping. I buy the food. I come. Back home, you don't just come and you turn off the range and start cooking. You need charcoal. And then you go through all that, prepare the food, and then I sit for 2-3 hours. And when you are dishing the food to bring it to me, then I say, oh no, I am tired, so I am going. I have waited all that time. Now the food is ready. You are dishing the food. Now I say, I am tired. I'm walking away. That is how we behave in the spirit most of the times. That we put a request before God and we wait on, keep waiting on for years. And when God really answers the prayer and there is an angel coming with the result, that is when we say, oh, I have waited for too long. I am tired. Just think about it. When Abraham got to 24 years, if he had said, I am tired, we will not be talking about Abraham and Isaac. Looking at the unseen, God finally kept his word. Abraham saw the manifestation of that promise. Looking at the unseen, and the very promise God answered, gave him, God told him, take him and go and sacrifice him. There was a very good reason why Abraham didn't tell Sarah. I know hell would have broken loose. Praise be to God. We have waited on God for 25 years to get this boy. And you are telling me the same God is asking you to go and offer him? You will offer me first before you offer him. It was for a very good reason. Abraham, looking at the unseen, just decided to take the little boy to go and offer him. Most of the times, or some of the times, you know God is talking to you. You know it is the voice of God. And then you go to consult somebody that is not even, maybe he's not even a Christian. This is what God is telling me. What do you think about it? What reaction do you have? Abraham still went ahead. After having waited 25 years, looking at the unseen, he decided to go and offer him. The Bible says the way they call heresy, that is how we worship the God of our fathers. Sometimes you get to a point, it doesn't make sense, physically speaking. But that is how we worship God. It looks insane. That is how it ought to be. You have to lose your mind so you can get the mind of Christ. Yeah. Praise be to God. When the children of Israel go to Kadesh Barnea, and Moses picked one from each tribe, not just anybody's, but men of valor, men of war, to go and spy the promised land and then bring results back. When they went, and then they spied the land, and they saw that indeed the land was blessed, the land was rich. Oh, they took evidence of it. Even the grapes we buy today from Walmart, one bunch of grapes they couldn't carry. Two men had to use stick, put it on their shoulder to bring it back for the people to see that this land is really rich. This land is actually blessed. And when they got there and the people saw these grapes, oh, they started rejoicing. Oh, the land is blessed. Praise be to God. Finally, we are getting there. But out of the 12 war generals, if you call them so, there were that were determined to carry the people back to Egypt. They said, you know what? Yes, the land is rich. The land is really blessed. But we can't take the land. Then the people said, what? We can't take the land? They said, no, we can't take it. We saw the sons, the Amalekites, the Jebusites, they were like mountains. We were like grasshoppers before them. There is no way we can fight them. And you know how people can dramatize things. Oh, they were so big, I could hear them say, if you even shoot him, the bullet will not even penetrate his body. You hit him with a spear, the spear would not even enter his body. And the people just started crying, started shouting and wailing. Oh, why have you brought us here for us to come and die here? If we have been better, we stayed in Egypt. And they started shouting, murmuring, complaining, and what have you? You know, in our walk with God, we should be very, very, very careful. Sometimes you would tempt God and tempt him and tempt him and continue tempting him, and you would tempt him for the last time. And when you are tempting him for the last time, you wouldn't know you are tempting him for the last time. You would think that it's like the rest of them. But that is probably the last time you are going to tempt God. They tempted God so much that when they got to Kadesh Barnea and they tempted God, that was for the last time. Of the 2 million people who saw the glory of God in Egypt and in the wilderness, none of them entered the promise. None of them entered the promised land. But praise be to God that there was a Caleb and there was a Joshua in their midst who said that we are able to take the land. God has given us that land and we are able to take it. They were not looking at the size of the man. They were not looking at the size of the storm. They were looking at what the word of God says. And when you get to that place and you are not looking at the storms, you are not looking at the problems, and you are basing your hopes on the word of God, You are looking at the unseen. What you are seeing, nobody else sees it. When God makes a promise, God keeps his promise. He is not a man that he should lie. Whatever promise God makes, God keeps his promise. You can depend on the promises of God in the morning, in the noontime, in the evening time, and they would never fail. Praise be to God. They say God has given us that land. It is ours. We can take that land. And God was very happy with that. Minority with God, the prophet said, is the majority. God does not deal with numbers. God doesn't deal with numbers. Looking at the unseen. Looking at the unseen. This brings into mind David and Goliath. We all know the story. I'm not going to go into the genesis of it. When Goliath would come down from the mountain in the morning and in the evening and curse the children of Israel, brag, knock on his chest, did that for 40 days, and there was no man in the camp of Israel that would go up and meet him. They would just see Goliath come down a human mountain. Nobody could get near him. He would talk, beat his chest, and go back 40 days, and here comes that little boy David. And when he saw it, he couldn't take it. He said, no, I would kill this man. He said, what are you talking about? Even the world generals here, nobody can get close. And a little boy like you, what do you know? He said, no, I will kill him. The God that delivers the bears and the lions in my hands, he would, that same God would deliver him into my hands. Yeah. What was he looking at? He was looking at the unseen. Yeah. David didn't see Goliath. He didn't see that stature of Goliath. Goliath was a warmonger, a war general, an expert. David didn't have time for all that. David was looking at the unseen. That was why when David came before him, he told him that you come against me with your sword, with your spear, with your shield and what have you, but I come against you in the name of the God of our fathers. And listen to what David said. And the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Yeah. Praise be to God. And the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Yeah. Looking at the unseen. Yeah. Looking at the unseen. And we know the story. Goliath probably may have thought, I mean, who is this? I'm here for business, and they bring somebody to come and entertain us. You little boy, you didn't get training. I mean, your parents didn't teach you well when you were growing up. I will kill you and I'll feed you to the beast of the field. He didn't know what was coming. He didn't know the surprises that were awaiting him. And when Goliath, he didn't see the stone coming. The hand of God just took that stone, hit him right where, I mean, it just knocked him out, and David took off his head. Looking at the unseen. Now, I want to go to the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages, the prophet of God said it was a period of 1,500 years. That there was no prophet on the scene. 1,500 years. Now, within that frame, within that time period, according to Bible historians, some 100 million Christians were martyred. They were killed. Another record has it at 68 million and then at 60 million. But the prophet talked about the 68 million, and that's what I want to go with. Now, when you look at the Dark Ages, 1,500 years of persecution in Christendom. In fact, some of the stories are so bad, I wouldn't even talk about it here. I wouldn't want anybody to throw up. But it's very, very bad. But some of them, how they would peg people, just peg them alive and let animals eat them up. The whole woman cut their breasts and they bleed to death. They chop people's head off. That was a very common thing. Fed people to the lions for their faith in God. For their faith in God. There was so much wickedness on the land that too much persecution was unleashed on the Christians. And they loved not their lives unto death. For them to compromise on the word of God and live in sin and die in sin, they preferred to go through that persecution. They would not compromise on the word of God on any grounds. It was between life and death. And they were looking at the unseen as they went through this persecution. The only way they made it, I mean, they will put people in line, say, renounce your faith and we will set you free. For me to renounce my faith, it's better for me to die for what I believe. That is where we ought to come to. You ought to come to that point that you are not serving God just because of some luxury. Just because of, I mean, that is just a matter of life or death. Never come to a place to play games with your Christian life. You don't come to church because you don't have a place to go. You don't come to church because you want to add up to the number. You come to church to do an introspection, to search your life, to line up your life with the word of God, to seek the face of God, to become a better Christian in your walk with God. It doesn't matter if everybody does it. It is just between you and your God. When you come, don't look across your shoulders. If praise God, praise God. Worship God. It doesn't matter who is looking with. It doesn't matter at all. We all have a name here. If my name is mentioned, nobody else is going to respond. I'm going to respond to it. When we walk through this door, it's a different thing altogether. Praise be to God. They were looking at the unseen. That somebody stands in line and he's waiting his turn. Not for a paycheck, but to take the worst punishment there could ever be. And there was a story about how they killed the Christians and killed them till they got tired of killing them. And then so they say, you know what? They set fire in a pit and then they line them up. And then they were just, the soldiers just surrounded them. They were just pushing them in one after the other. They just come and then they jump in. They come and then they jump in. They may have been wondering, what sort of people are these? Are they out of their minds? Praise be to God. When you have a taste of God, there is nothing in this life that is going to satisfy you. Just get a little bit of taste, a little taste of God, and it would numb your taste for everything of this life. It would numb it to death that nothing would appeal to you. If it doesn't give God the glory, I bet you, you don't find pleasure in doing it. They just get there, they jump into it. They get there, they jump into it. Unknown to them, there was something that was happening. There was something that was happening, but God kept it away from them. But then one of the soldiers that was just following them and they were jumping into the fire, God opened the eyes of that soldier. For every time somebody jumped into the fire, he saw the fellow's spirit going up. For every time somebody jumped, he saw the soul just leaving the body before the body even enters the fire. Then he was so amazed. He said, what is going on? And they jump, and then he sees the soul going, the spirit going. Then he marveled. He said, no, these people are a peculiar people. No, what is going on here? Then as they were jumping, it got to one brother. And then when he saw the heat, he said, no way, I'm not entering. They say, you enter today. The only way you don't enter the fire is for you to denounce God. He said, yes, I renounce my faith. You renounce your faith. This is where you ought to be sure. You ought to be very, very sure where you stand with God. When push comes to shove, that is where your true colors actually play out. Yeah. When everything is fine, everybody is a Christian. But when it gets to the nitty-gritties, when it gets to the boiling point, that is where the true Christian actually would manifest. Yeah. Where you see God. Make sure that you are not standing on a sinking sand. Make sure that you are standing on the rock. That it doesn't matter what happens. That the storms would come and go and you alone. Do not let your faith in God rest on another body's faith. Make sure that you have a personal experience with God. A one-on-one experience with God. Praise be to God. When he got to that point and he saw the heat, he couldn't take it. He renounced faith. He renounced his faith. Jesus said, do not fear. He that will kill the body and has no power over the soul to cast it into hell. But fear he that would kill the body and has power to cast the soul into hell. It doesn't matter how long you live in this life will surely come to an end. If Christ tarries, one day will be the last day. So when you get to that point and you renounce your faith, you turn your back on God. Because you don't want to die. Guess what? The death will still come. Yep. It will still come. He renounced his faith. And you know what happened? The soldier that was seeing their soldiers living before they entered the fire, When he said he was not going there, the soldier asked him, "You are not going in?" He said, "No, I am not going in." Then the soldier just unlaced his boot, unlaced another boot, and threw it to him. His colleagues may have wondered, what is going on? He took off his shirt. He gave it to him. He took off his uniform, just handed it over to him. "That, take it." And then he just ran, and then he jumped into the fire. And I was thinking about it. And then it just took me to the thief on the cross. A God would never lose any of his children. A child of God, once a child of God, always a child of God. God would not save you only to lose you. God is not in the trial and error business. As we men, we don't know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And we try things, and if they don't work, we abandon it. And we try another one, it doesn't work, we abandon it. We go to the other, we abandon it. It is not so hard. God already knows the end before he even starts. If you are a child of God, I don't care what happens. God will find you at any point in time. Nothing can take you away from the love of God. Just imagine the thief on the cross. When all was lost, when all was gone, he had given up hope, everything. All he was waiting for was to die. And that was the end of it. And right at the 11th hour, I wouldn't even call that 11th hour. Maybe 11 hours, 59 minutes, 59 seconds, 59 microseconds. Very unexpected. At the very end of it all. And then you think about a Roman soldier that was just escorting people and getting them into the fire. God would open his eyes. Why didn't God open the eyes of the others? But that very one alone. God can never lose any of his children. Our God is faithful. Yeah. Praise be to God. Yeah. What are we talking about tonight? We are talking about the unseen. Praise be to God. Now, you look at this Christian journey. This is a race that has been set before us. There is this field track, whatever they call it, 4x4 or 100 by 4, or is it 4x100? I'm forgetting it. But I believe everybody knows what I'm talking about. That you have four people start the race, not four people, but some start the race, and you have another set. You have somebody wearing the same vest. Another person. So you run with a stick and then relay. Beautiful. God bless you, my brother. You hand it over. He takes the hand over till you cut the tape, right? Very good. This is the type of race that has been set before us. That from one generation, from one church age to the other, they have run with a baton and handed it over. Somebody takes it, runs to the next person, hands it over. He takes it, runs. I don't care how many times you fall. Yeah. All you want to do is get up onto your feet. And then keep running till you hand that baton over. Until you hand it over, you are not resting. Praise be to God. It doesn't matter how many times you have fallen. God does not see where you fall. The only thing God sees is where you rise up. Because when God looks down, all he sees is the blood of your redemption. The blood of the redemption, that is all God sees. When God looks down, he sees us through the blood. You can never sin enough to take you out of the will of God. You can never fall out of the will of God. You can never fall out of grace. You think that, no, this fall was so terrible. And you realize that you just fell in the biggest grace ever. Look at John. I've forgotten his last name. The man who wrote the song Amazing Grace. John. Beautiful. God bless you, brother. Yes. John Newton. He, in the 17th, 16th century, he was in Africa, you know, involved in the slave trade and what have you. That was when Africa was really referred to as that continent. And he knew Africa more than I know Africa today. When he came to the end of his life, he said two things. That in all my life, I have realized, I just came to the point to realize that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great savior. I don't care what happens. The grace of God will find you anyhow. Praise be to God. Looking at the unseen. Now you look at it. The baton that has been handed over to us, men and women sailed through bloody seas. They sailed through bloody seas. Some went through the fire with a baton in their hands to hand that baton over to you. Now you have the baton in your hand. The baton stained with the blood of the saints. Stained with blood. You have it in your hands. Are you going to go to bed with that baton? If they went to bed, it wouldn't reach you. The baton is in our hands. Are we going to go to bed with it? A race has been set before us. God would always have a people. God would always have his representatives. I don't care what happens. God would always have his people on this land. We are holding the baton. And we need to also hand it over. People have died for it. People sacrificed their lives for it. People sacrificed their joy for it. People gave up their all for it. And they went that far, looking at the unseen. The prophet of God said that outside of the dark ages, he has no sin, or he can't think of any time in human history that is so dark, like the day and age we are living in. He said this in the 60s. That outside of the dark ages, there hasn't been any dark period in human history like the one we are living in now. I mean, this world has gotten to the place there is so much evil. In one message, I don't remember which message was that, he talked about we have a lot of preachers in this day and age. A lot more preachers than there has ever been. And yet, we have more sinners than there have ever been. Science has advanced to a point where we have never seen before. And yet, it has never solved our problems. We have more doctors today than there has ever been. More scientific advancement in the field of medicine. And we have more diseases that we don't even know the cure to them. Men have so much education today. And our education have not helped us. that a judge, a Supreme Court judge, that should know better, can sit down and say that it's okay for men to marry. It's okay for women to marry. And there is nothing wrong with that. His education has helped him. We are so advanced, there has been any technological advancement that can be compared to the day and age we are living in. And yet, there are things the dogs and the goats know, and yet human beings don't know them. You can never get a he-goat to run after a he-goat. But human beings do it, and we don't see anything wrong with it. There is so much darkness on the land. And if in the dark ages, they went through all the persecutions they went through, looking at the unseen, that the only way you and I are going to make it in this day and age is to keep our heads up, looking at the unseen. Sometimes you get to a place, you see something in front of you, and you think it will be better to look back. And when you look back, the one in front of you was even better. You turn left, and it's worse. It's very sad. And you will think that it is in America alone. No. It is the same demon everywhere. If they went through in the dark ages, looking at the unseen, the only way you and me are going to make it is to keep our focus on the unseen. The prophet of God said that a snake can charm a bird. And what it does is that when it fixes its eyes on the eyes of this, on the bird, and the bird is looking at it, it can just charm the snake and then disorient it. The bird just falls down, passes out, and then the snake goes after it. And the only way the bird can get away from that snake is to look away. But so long as it keeps its eyes in contact with the eyes of the snake, it's going to be the snake's next meal. If you keep your eyes on the things of this life, on the things of this world, on the fashions of this world, on the things that are going on in this life, if you keep your eyes on them, you are going to be sucked in. You are going to be swept away. You wouldn't know when. The only way to escape is to look away. Keep your focus on God. Let your eyes be transfixed on Him. In our personal lives, we go through storms. In our family lives, we go through storms. In our church lives, we go through storms. We can never run short of storms. The storms will always come. And they must come. It's because we need them. The storms don't come to destroy you. They come to make you better. If you are living a life without storms, you should be worried. I'm not saying that the Christian life is just, it must be storms, 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 storms. No. God wouldn't do that. But if in all your life, if it's just an easy ride, just pause. I'm not saying there is something wrong, but just pause and ask yourself questions. The storms would come. The trials would come. The temptations would come. The obstacles would come. Don't worry how they are going to come. Keep your focus on God. When your eyes are set on God, you are bound to overcome. Let your faith be anchored in the Word of God. When your faith is anchored in the Word of God, I don't care how much you are tossed about. I don't care how much you are shaking. I trust you. I trust the grace of God. God would never let go of you. What the devil does, the devil can never take the word away from you. The devil can't do it. What the devil does is to let you lose confidence in the word. And once you lose confidence in the word, you lose the protection of the word. Being in the word gives you protection, divine protection. And to lose confidence in the word, you break that protection. And then you are on your own. Then the devil takes an advantage of you. The devil is an opportunist. There is never an opportunist like the devil. He has never been a friend, and he will never be a friend. Let your faith be anchored in the word. And it doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter what your body tells you. It doesn't matter what your eyes tells you. It doesn't matter what your feelings tell you. Always go and consult the word. And whatever the word of God tells you, if you can hold on to that promise, you are looking to the unseen. And when God knows you have put your trust in him, he will never let you down. He will never let you down. Our God is faithful and he's true. Praise be to God. Looking at the unseen. We have come to a time in our lives. We don't know when. We look at everything around us and we can tell that it's almost time to go home. But we don't know how soon. And this journey we are talking of, sometimes you walk on the road and then you get to a point, you look behind you, you don't see anybody coming. You go, 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 you don't see anybody ahead, you don't see anybody behind you. But by the grace of God, you see footprints of those that have already gone ahead of you, telling you that is the path to walk on, that is the way. You get to a place some of the times that the road is so narrow that you don't even see ahead of you. But something in you tells you that you are on the right track, that you are on the right road, that do not give up. Just another step, and it takes looking at the unseen to overcome. Looking at the unseen. Praise be to God. So keep your focus on God. Let God be God. And let God have his way. Praise be to God. If the musicians can come over. Like Brother One was saying the other time, Some of us are very, very good singers when we are alone in the house. Yeah. Brother Lawyer, you can give us a song and let's worship the Lord. Talk to God. One thing I have realized is that we lack in our prayer lives. There isn't much consecration. We should love to go before the Lord, because God loves to have communion with His children. God cherishes, and we ought to cherish that moment. And I want us to go before the Lord. Talk to God tonight. For we know that there is no way we can ever make it without Him. That we have gotten to a place that we need to keep our eyes on Him constantly. Not when we feel like it, but to keep our focus on God. To keep looking at the unseen. Because the storms would arise, the problems would come, the sicknesses would come, the devil would throw things our way, life would not continue to be the same way. It's just a mixture of ups and downs. But if we keep our focus on God, if we keep our eyes on Him, the things of this life, the trials, the tribulations, the traps, and the snares the enemy lay in our way, we will not even see them to begin with. I want us to pray. Just commit yourself to the hands of the Almighty God. Ask for the grace of God. Ask for God to strengthen you. Ask for God to help you, to open your eyes, to see. The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." That God would open our eyes to see and to know who we really are and where we are standing. It's not a bad thing to know that you are not standing sure. That is a reminder that you need to get to a safer ground. I want us to talk to God tonight. Shall we pray? Our Lord and our Savior Jesus, we are so grateful for tonight. We thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for the very short time we've had this evening, Father, with you. Nothing can compare to it, Lord. An hour in your presence is more than the 24 hours, Father, oh God, we have in a day. We thank you for this opportunity we have had to come before thee tonight, Lord, and to hear your word. The Bible says your word will not go out and come back void. And whenever it goes out, it will accomplish the purpose for which it was being sent out. It is our hope that your word has found its eternal resting place in our souls tonight. Let your word, dear Lord Jesus, abide with us and give us grace to entertain your word. To entertain your word, Lord. For it's because when we entertain your word, then your word can work on us. Let your word work on us, Lord. Work on us, Lord. Work on us. We pray thee, Father, tonight. As we have said time and again, the clay has no control over itself, but the potter does. May you work on us, dear Lord Jesus, and bring us to the place where you want us to be. Help us, Lord. We want to make sure that we are standing sure. Open our eyes to see where we are, Lord, in our journey. We do not want to be taken unawares. If we get to a place and we have to give the life up, the life we are living, for the sake of the love of Christ, Father, give us grace to do it. Help us, Lord. Let us walk in your footprints. Grant us the grace and the strength we need, Lord, to shine the little light there is in our lives for the world to see and to know that the Lord our God is alive, that we are not serving a dead God, that the God we are serving is alive. Give us the grace and the strength we need to lift the blood-stained banner of Christ so high for the world to see and to know that our God reigns even in the life of man. We have the baton in our hands, Lord. A lot of our brothers and our sisters gave their lives up to hand this baton over to us. They gave all they had for the sake of the love of Christ. We have this baton in our hands, stained with blood. And as the song says, that this Holy Ghost gospel is dripping with blood. It's indeed dripping with blood. Help us to give our all. Our all is not even enough. But if we can give our all, you will accept it, Lord. Help us to give our all. Help us to give our all, Lord. Let your grace abound in our lives. We just thank you and we bless you, Father, tonight. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, Lord. We worship thee for all that thou have done for us tonight, Lord. We are so grateful for your word that came to us. Very shortly, we believe in your presence. We pray that the grace that brought us, the same grace would abide with us and see us through. Carry us safely back home, Lord. Rest our bodies, rest our souls, and get us prepared for the weekend services. Brother Juan is in Alaska. We pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you would use him, Father, to glorify your holy name. Let him be a blessing, Father, to the saints in Alaska. Glorify yourself in him, Lord. Bless him and bless the saints on the other side. We thank you so much, Lord, for all that thou have done for us. We worship and we bless thee, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. God bless you, brother. Amen.
That's good. Appreciate it. Amen. Mom was playing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn.